Turn me to the Bible, to Colossians chapter number 3, verse 14. And yes, this is a message about love. Amen. Amen. We should know what love is as Christians, should we not? Do you know what love is? Somebody care to give me what they think love is? There's a lot of action. Huh? Very much a choice. Very much a choice. Very much. There's a lot of things about love that when we hear it. Now, if you go by strictly what the world kind of portrays to be, it's butterflies and it's rainbows and it's this wild feeling. And you know what? If I relied on that kind of love for my marriage, my wife would have left me about 2 weeks in. So I'm thankful that love is more than just butterflies and bunny rabbits and whatever kind of feeling it's supposed to be. Love is a lot of things. But read with me here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. This is my verse I really want to center everything around here tonight as we talk. I'm going to try to preach fast. Now, it's 15 till, so to my credit, I'm just getting started, okay? I'm going to try not to make it a two-hour message, but hour and 55 might be. Some people are like, yeah, okay. Let's read verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Listen to that verse again. And above all these, now, there's all kinds of other verses up here. It says, put on in verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Boy, I don't even want to get them verses because I'm already struggling with them things already. forbearing one another and forgiving one another. See, it's already getting me again. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. See, I don't like those verses. I'm going to move on because I'm. We all have struggles. But listen to the last part of this in verse 14 again. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We should put on love above everything. That's how we start. Now, we read the Bible, always different relationships, marriages, different things in the Bible, people we see as great men of God, all these things. I'm going to go through some because I had it on my mind to just give you an idea that all these great people in the Bible is just normal people like you and I. They're not anything that we should put on a pedestal above anybody else. And after I share some of these ideas, you'll understand what I mean by this. Think back, you know, all the way in Genesis, and I'm going to do a little paraphrasing for time's sake, to Adam and Eve. Think about this for a moment. Where it all began. They lived in a perfect place called Eden. Perfect. They were the only two people to ever see the fullness of God, because he came down in the cool of the day and walked in fellowship with them. They got to see God. Think about that now. We've never saw God. The closest we have ever seen in the Bible outside of them in Moses, when it says, I'll let you see the backside of me as I come by. Because you can't stand to see the glory of me. So in that perfect Eden, they get to literally walk with God on a daily basis. They started out in a good way. Even Adam was willing to give up a rib. I'm not going to tell you the joke because, you know, I'll have all the women mad at me. Well, yeah, I will. I'm going to go into it. My wife would laugh at me and get me later. I heard a joke that says God came to Adam and said, look, I'm going to give you the perfect wife. She's going to be everything you want, every way possible. She'll serve you to no end. It, all it's going to cost you is an arm and a leg. And he said, what can I have for a rib? And the rest is history. Now, I didn't mean that. I was just trying to be funny, but it's my, I don't mean that. You've heard my wife talk about Valentine's Day and how we got to do it. So I may have ruined that, but okay. I mean that jokingly. I'm not good at jokes. I'm trying to make something funny. But think about Adam and Eve. They started out perfect. All they had to do is one thing. Now, my wife threatened to take the piece of cheesecake she bought me back today because I said this jokingly. I said it was perfect, and then she had to mess it up. She said, I'm going to take that cheesecake back. But Adam and Eve messed it up. had perfectness. They had the bond of love of perfectness on them through God. Right. Everything was perfect. And she goes, okay, I'll try the fruit, sure. And Adam goes, she says, well, here, Adam, you try it. Okay. He does too. That simple, and it's done and over with. Now, we can sit and judge Adam and Eve all we want to. If everybody was perfect up to me, I would have been the first one to ruin it, and we still wouldn't be in the Garden of Eden. So I can't judge them. Somebody would have messed up. But think about their marriage. Started out perfect. Butterflies and bunny rabbits. And then all of a sudden, sin came in. Now, I'm going to tell you what I feel with this. I honestly believe in my heart that at that moment, that the vision of God and the picture of God left their mind, because I don't think you could ever really know what God looks like in sin. That's just me. I don't. I think it's meant for us to know him imperfect, when we are perfect. They were perfect in the Garden of Eden. I think as soon as they sinned, they did not know what God looked like anymore. That's just me. But think about the hardness they had to face. They went from tending the garden and making it seem so easy. Everything was working so wonderfully. They were naming this. I think I'll call this a butterfly. Now they go out and the ground's going to have to be worked to make it work. They're going to have to figure out how to build shelter. All of a sudden, they're going to have to figure out how to bring kids into the world for the very first time ever. And they're going to have a crying kid. They're going to have to figure out how to take care of that kid. They're going to have to learn on the fly. Boy, their marriage just took a hard turn. And you think about it. Now, they live way longer than we do now. But they have two kids, and what happens? One of them gets mad at the other and kills them. Now, that's a messed up sounding family right off the bat. But yet, they still knew who God was, and they still loved him, and God loved them. I'm just giving you some examples tonight. Abraham and Sarah over in, let me get to my notes. Over in Genesis chapter number 17 and 18. And like I said, I'm doing some paraphrasing because of time, because I want to get to the end of it. You think about Abraham and Sarah. They get married and she's a beautiful woman. Very beautiful. Then he also says, by the way, Sarah, God just told me we need to leave here. We're going to leave our families and we're going to go. Okay. You doesn't see in the Bible that she argued with him. She might have said, I really don't want to do this. I don't know, but it doesn't say it in the Bible. She followed him. And by the way, we're going to carry Lot with us and his family. We're all going to take off. Where are we going? I don't know. I don't have a clue. I don't know. Well, what direction we're going? God said go this way. It's this way we're heading. So you don't have a clue where we're ending up. Now, let me ask you something, women. If your men come up and said, your husbands, or you come up and said, we need to take off. We need to leave here. Where are we going? I don't know. How keen would you be to go, okay, well, let's go. My wife's going, nuh-uh. Ain't happening. You better have a plan. That'd be hard. But in faith, Abraham had faith. He said, God told me to do this. We're going to do it. And they take off. Don't have a clue where they're ending up. Don't know where their next step is going to be. He's trusting him for every step of his path. We say, Abraham, boy, this is going good, because he's truly trusting God. That's called perfect love, to my eyes, to trust God that way, is what I say. God's loving him as well. But along this path, what do you see? They come up to a city. Abraham's starting to come up to the city, and all of a sudden he says, wait a minute. You know what? These men are going to think they're going to want to kill me because you're so beautiful. They're going to kill me and take you. Sarah, will you lie for me and say we're brother and sister? Now, what? Not a lie, but this is truly, we're not married. We're just brother and sister. Now, what would you do? Women, I'm asking y'all. So you want me to go in this city and say we're a sister and husband, so that means now I'm available, according to these men, right? So this great marriage of trust is now going to, oh man, I just lost all the faith I have in God to be able to protect us. I don't even think you can keep me. God can keep me alive, so I need you to say that you're my sister. Think about it. That's kind of messed up, isn't it? If I come to my wife and said, honey, we're going to go in this place, but you need to tell me you're my sister, not my wife. You know, please, because these men are mean. Really, you want me to go in there and tell them, Lord, I'm not married, and they're mean. Okay. Sarah says, okay. They go in this city. Thank God he was protecting Abraham because he gave him a promise. And he laid it out for the men of the city to say, they're married. Where the men even called him up and said, hey, you said it's your sister, but this is your wife. Thank God them men were like, you know what? Get out of my city because you're about to curse us. You tried to curse us with this. Abraham had to learn a valuable lesson. Now, I'm just throwing different details. The order, I believe I got out a little bit, but that's all right. The details are there. They come up with Lot and Abraham's going to split. Think about this for a moment. He says, Lot, you choose which way you want to go. You are supposed to get first choice. If I'm leading my wife and my family somewhere, I want the green, lush place. Lot looks over and says, that's green and lush. That ain't. I want that. Abraham said, well, okay. So he takes the hard road, and Lot takes off to the green, lush land. Again, we see more faith coming in. It gets to a point where Abraham trusts God so much. Now, I have never been able to talk to God and talk him down on something. But Abraham did. Him and God were so close and they trusted God so much at this moment where he literally talked God down about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, where he says, you know what, God, if you could take it to this many people, and God said, okay, well, how about this many people? Where he gets it down to where he said, God, if there's 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you save that city? And God said, okay. Now, this is who God is. This is the way that marriage is. This is, I'm showing you the both sides of the people in this relationship here. This is one of the main families couples I've been thinking about tonight with all this. He was able to talk to God and get God to change his mind to a certain point. That's how close he was to God. Yet we just saw where he didn't even trust him to be able to keep him alive. We know what happened with the story of Lot. The city was still destroyed. Abraham goes on. As they get on up in age, they've not had any children. We know this. We know this story. But listen, think about this. This couple has been walking with God, seeing what God has been doing. Now they're up in age, and God said, I've made a promise to you, Abram, that you're now going to be Abraham because I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he's getting up in age and about 90, 95 years old, and it's like, I ain't got no kids. How are we going to do that? Y'all know the story. So how am I going to be a father of nations when I have no children and I'm already an old man? God said, I'm going to give you a child. What happened? Didn't trust God. Sarah laughed. Abraham was like, What'd they do? Sarah said, well, Abraham, you deserve a child. And I can't give you one, so I'm going to give you my handmaid. I'm going to give you Hagar, my handmaid, because you need a child. You're going to be a father of nations. I'm going to give her to in neighbors. Okay. Men are dumb. God's done promised his seed through Sarah and then said, you are going to have a child. And she said, and she's like, I can't do this. So Abraham goes, okay. And then they have a child together, Ishmael with Hagar. That's not God's plan. Where is his faith at? Where's this relationship at? Now, I can promise you right now, if I came to my wife and told her I'm supposed to have another child or whatever, and she's not going to tell me, well, let me give you my handmaid. That's not going to happen at my house. Ain't going to happen. I wouldn't want it to happen. So think about where they're at right now. Sarah's like, oh, it's so wonderful he's had a child. And then God says, nope, you're supposed to have a child. And listen to what it causes in this family, the destruction. She has a child and she gets jealous of Hagar. You know what happens. She says, she's got to go. The same woman that says, I want you to take her is now saying, she needs to get out. Abraham says, okay. But God gave him a promise. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of Hagar and Ishmael. And think about this now. Today, if we had a father who kicked a woman out and the child and never saw him again, and we would think they were just bums, would we not? But yet this is where their marriage is. It went from, I'm trusting God to leave. I'm trusting God where I'm supposed to go. I'm talking to God, and I can trust him to be able to talk him to a point where I can even communicate with God, and he's communicating back that he will promise me to drill, that he'll save the city for this much, to, oh, well, I can't even trust him to keep me alive. And now it's, well, I can't have a child because I'm too old and she's too old, so now we're going another way. And they're causing all this destruction, and it's still causing destruction today.
You're right.
That sin went for generations and many, many years now.
Right.
Yet God said, I want you to have a child. He gives him Isaac. What happens? We know that story. I'm not giving you any new information. I'm just trying to bring something to light to you tonight. Think about it. Abraham is sitting there with Isaac, and now he's finally got his child. And God said, sacrifice him. The one thing I promised you that you were going to have, I want you to sacrifice it back to me. Oh, wow. I've told y'all, I could give my life to save someone else way more than I could give my children. My son was one of my sons was the one that came in and started the live stream. That boy was my heart. Sometimes I like to strangle him. Sometimes it's a love. Sometimes it's a love hate. Sometimes I'd love to love him, and sometimes I just love strangling him. You know, that's the way the boys are. I was never that way. Lord, I'm joking. My mom's sitting over here. She can tell me all my secrets. But you think about it. Here we go with faith again. Sarah did not. You don't see anywhere where Sarah has said, what are you doing? Abraham takes Isaac off to sacrifice him, and when they get up there, Isaac lays himself down, apparently, because you don't see no fighting. Abraham's a really old man by now.
Right.
And yet you see Isaac, and he's like, where's the sacrifice? And that famous phrase, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. What a beautiful picture.
Amen.
Of what true love is of God.
Amen.
Amen? That perfectness of love. Gets up there, and we know what happens. Abraham's faith is he literally raises the knife to follow through, and yet God says, you can stop. I know you love me more. I know you love me more than you do your own son. There's a ram over in the thicket. Go ahead and take him. What a beautiful picture we know is of Jesus Christ, who was our sacrifice in our place. That sounds like a pretty messed up marriage in a lot of ways. If you were to see that today, some of the things going on, would you not? But yet this is a man who God made a promise to, and he loved, and he used. Think about that. I'm going to go through some of these others really, really quick. You know, Isaac. Abraham wanted Isaac a wife. So he sends out his servant, and he says, go over here to this town and search for my son a wife. And he said, okay. He said, If she says no, you're free of this bond. But go find my son the right wife. And he goes out, and sure enough, he says, you know, God, I want to honor my Lord over here, my Abraham, and I want to find Isaac a wife. And I'm paraphrasing, as you well know. He says, I pray that the woman will come out and say, here, I'll give you drink, and I'll also give you camels to drink. Who came out? Rebecca. Rebecca came out. Now, he goes back to the house, and they realize they're part of a kinship, and that's what they're looking for. Out of nowhere, he says, they're looking for a wife for Isaac. Would you be willing to marry him? Okay, ladies, my question is, would you marry a man you've never even seen, met, or just now heard of for the first time? I ain't got nobody going, yeah. She did. Tell me how crazy that is. But yet she got back and she was excited where it says she lighted off her camel and they ran to each other. They were married and this great marriage was going on until they got older in their life and they had two kids, Jacob and Esau. What happened? She tricked Isaac. What'd she do? Y'all can tell me, I'm asking. She had Jacob go and pretend to be Esau, so that he could get the better birthright. You see, here's a marriage that looked like it's going to be something great, wonderful, and all these things, but yet we see in all these different marriages, I'm going quick because there's so much you could say. All these great, wonderful marriages always have something wrong in them. Why? Because we're people. We're people. You got Jacob wants a wife. He sees Rachel. He says, I'm willing to work 7 years for Rachel. I waited a while to get my wife because I was dumb. But if her dad said, you got to work for me for 7 years and you can have her, I think I would. But that ain't what happened. He worked 7 years and the dad tricked him and said, you're getting my oldest daughter first. Whoa, hold up. She didn't even have a say in it. Leah got tossed into this thing and didn't even have a say. So what's he do? He works another 7 years for Rachel. That was not what God intended. One man, one woman. And when you look at the way it all worked out, Leah was literally, the Bible says that God gave favor to Leah because it saw that she was hated. So he started opening her womb and she started having children. Now I'm going to share with you, because like I said, I'm not sharing as much scripture because I'm looking at the time and I know where I need to go. Leah has Reuben for him, Simon. Listen to the next two tribes. Levi, the priesthood, and Judah. Who came out of Judah? Well, I'll be doggone. God honored the first marriage and said, I'm going to bring Christ out of that. The one that was hated. My Savior was hated. Jesus was hated. Think about that. Literally came to a point where their marriage was so crazy. Leah starts having children. Rachel, the one he loved, is upset because she can't have children. She said, so take my handmaid. Here we go again. She has two kids with Bilhah, her handmaid. Leah gets upset because she ain't having no more kids. So she said, well, take Zilpah, my handmaid. These women were taking these kids and saying they were theirs. Four children from handmaids because two sisters, which is really weird to me. I could not be married to two sisters. That just sounds really weird. You can imagine the jealousy. There's jealousy between sisters anyway, just like there's jealousy between brothers. But you think about that whole marriage. And yet out of all this craziness and chaos, God brings Christ out of it and the priesthood. You see how God loves? Now, does your marriage sound as crazy as some of this? I ain't saying, because you know, I've done some dumb things, so I'm trying to be nice. I just got one more to share with you. Well, two, really. When you hear the story of Ruth and Boaz, over in Ruth chapter number 4, Ruth had lost her husband. Naomi, her mother-in-law, had lost her husband. Orpah had lost her husband. And you see a daughter-in-law that says, I'm going to stick with you. Now, I don't think Orpah was wrong for going home, because Naomi, they were going to go back home, and she told Orpah Ruth both, she said, look, you've lost your husbands. I'm too old to get remarried. I can't have any more kids for you to marry. You can go back to your home with your parents and everything is fine. And Orpah's crying and weeping and she left. But Ruth looked at Naomi and said, I'm going where you go. I'm with you. Your God is my God. Your people are my people. Where you die, I will die. She said, I'm supposed to be with you and that's where I'm going. And you know the story, when she gets back there, Naomi said, change my name to Mara, because she's grieving so hard and she's so down. But yet the first thing Ruth does, it says, I need to go glean. I got to go work. I got to go provide. My mother-in-law is struggling, so I'm going to step up. Right. And she goes, starts gleaning in the fields. And it just so happened, God says, I'm going to send you to Boaz, one of your kinsmen. Not your nearest kin, but the second kins. nearest kinsman. And God lines that whole beautiful story up. And you see a relationship where a grieving daughter-in-law is there for her mother-in-law. I want to thank God. My wife, I'm going to lift her up for a moment.
Amen.
Has helped me so much with my mom, with doctor's appointments, helping me go with medicines. Whatever we got to do, she's been there to help me. She's truly God sent to me. And yet you see the beautiful story of how Boaz and Ruth work these things out and God opens up their marriage to take place. You say, what's the bad side of it? I don't have one. It's just a beautiful story about how God can bring things together with a woman who is dedicated to taking care of her mother-in-law. That's all I'm saying. But the last I'm going to share with you real quick is this one, Mary and Joseph. Here in Matthew chapter number 1, again, I know I've done a lot of just talking about these stories because I had a few different ideas I wanted to pass to you on these. Matthew chapter number 1, we see Mary and Joseph, and Mary is a virgin. You all know what that means. And now she is with child, but she has been betrothed to Joseph for a long time, and they were supposed to be able to get married together. And an angel comes to Mary and says, by the way, you're now with child, and it's from God. It's God inside you. Now, it ain't like today. They didn't have shows back then, 16 and pregnant or whatever, all these goofy shows they put out now where they glorify teenagers and young people and stuff to have children. It wasn't that way back in the Bible days. Back in the Bible days, if you were pregnant outside of marriage, it was serious. It was very, very bad. And yet here she is with going to have a child. Joseph finds out. What's he do? He could have very easily said, no, thank you. I'm done. He could have ruined her in the streets. Because that's what happened a lot of time when somebody got pregnant outside of marriage. They would just run you down the streets and run you down and just, they would destroy these women. And he's, being the man he was, even before he knew, he said, well, I'm going to put her away privily, quietly and quickly. And yet he has a dream and the Lord speaks to him and says, you go ahead and marry her because that child is the Son of God. Now, I'm paraphrasing words again, because I'm looking at my clock and I'm trying to be cautious of time. He says, go ahead, because what's going on there is something supernatural.
Amen. That's it.
Joseph, being the man he is, says, okay, Lord.
Right.
Now, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but I know how people are, and I know how people are today, and I know how people were back in Noah's day when they gave him a hard time. I know it ain't no different back in these days. They no doubt probably got ridiculed by people the whole time. Think about it. Oh, yeah, I know why they get married.
Right.
Or I can't believe he's even with her. Think now, it doesn't say it because it goes through their life quickly, but you think about how people really are. Nobody's changed. This world hasn't changed over the years.
Right.
They had to have taken ridicule. I have no doubt in my mind. And Joseph said, you know what? I'm going to take it. Because my God said there's something special with that child. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to be the redemption of the world. He's going to be the one who can save my soul. He's going to be the changer of this world for sins. I'm going to stay with Mary and I'm going to be by her side. And I'm going to raise that son just like he is mine. And I thank the Lord for my stepson, Caleb. He's mine. He's mine. That's the way I see it. My stepdad stepped in when my biological father wouldn't be there for me. Now, this is a different story. God was there for him, but he put a stepdad in his place to help him out. And Joseph raised him like his own and taught him how to be a carpenter and no doubt tried to teach him how to be a man. And Jesus lived a perfect life under Joseph. Think about this. Now, think about the marriage. That's a rocky start, wouldn't you say? Yet, love is a what? Choice. She said it, a choice. My dad chose to love me. Joseph chose to love Jesus and raise him as his own. Just like the last marriage that I think is a crazy marriage. The very, very last one I think is the craziest marriage of all. Jesus and me. It makes no sense whatsoever. The Bible says that I am the bridegroom, or I am the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Why would someone perfect create me, see I was good for nothing, knew I was going to be good for nothing from the beginning, and yet still be willing to come down here and die for me and say, you know what, I love him so much, I'm going to come down here and be born, live a perfect life, which is a miracle in itself, and give my life for that person. That's the craziest marriage I ever seen in my life. I can't understand it. Because I know me. I wouldn't marry me. I don't know why my wife has stayed with me so many years. Don't say amen. No. I can, if I was to lay my story here, I'm almost done, of what our marriage has been like, it started off really hard and rocky. Before we got married, it kept on because I was stupid and I was mean. I could tell you different stories, and I'm not, because you look at me differently of some of the things that's happened in our marriage, some of the things that I've done, some of the things she's done. And yet here we are. She's praising God I'm still alive. That's a miracle.
Amen.
I know marriages are hard. I've got all kind of verses I can read to you back here, but I'm looking at the clock. But I'm just going to say this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. You want to know the bond of perfectness of love? That's it. And you can see in the stories, there's many other stories in the Bible that I could tell you about, marriages and even relationships between sisters and brothers and things of love and mothers and daughters and mothers and boys in the Bible. Love is more than just a relationship between a husband and wife. There's so many pictures of love in the Bible that all centers around just some craziness. But yet God sees it. And all of these knew God and all of these loved God. And God said, even through all your craziness, I'm going to keep you together, because you didn't see none of them divorce. You didn't see none of them give up on it. And you see God working all of it. Even having two sisters married to one man. Still don't understand that one. That was probably the craziest one to me. My God has said he will not divorce me. I am the bride of Christ. He saved my soul. And he says, you're going to be eternally saved. I'm not giving up on you, is what he says. He took them vows with me serious when he saved me. That enough to give his own life for me. I know marriage can be hard. I know relationships can be hard. I know relationships between mothers and children can be hard. And different family members, brothers and sisters sometimes. But we need to love each other with the bond of perfectness and charity. Why? Because we got the beautiful picture of what perfectness really is in Christ Jesus. That's what love is. Lord, thank you, God, just for letting us go through your word tonight and look at some things a little differently tonight. I pray, Lord, you'll help us in our relationships, God, and help us with our church, that, God, we'll focus on you and realize we have a reason to stay together. We have a reason to keep fighting. And we have a reason to keep loving, and that's because you love us. Lord, we love you because you first loved us, the Bible says. God, so help us to continue in that love, and let us keep in the bond of perfectness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.